You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We've been doing a series on seven keys to reigning in life as kings. And today's message, this is part six. I'm preaching this series because God wants you to reign in life. He wants you to reign by Jesus Christ, and he wants you to master all of life. But you can never walk in dominion until you realize what Christ has done for you. I've wrestled with this message. I believe this one message right here holds the key to you obtaining what God has purposed for your life. If you can learn this one principle, the principle of unity. Unity is like links in this chain. I'm going to read a text where John says, our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, and with one another. You break any one of those links, and I promise you, you have cut yourself off from the flow of God. So this is going to be one of the most important sermons that I preach, and I probably will come back and preach it in different ways again and again. But we've been using for our text Romans 5:17. Look at this. For if by one man's offense, Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, if you are saved, you have received the abundance of grace. You have received the gift of righteousness. But you've got to rise up and do something yourself about the circumstances of life. God has given you the keys of the kingdom. Hallelujah. My subject this morning, seven keys to reigning in life as kings. This is part six. Let us pray. Father, I have wrestled with this, and you have given me revelation upon revelation. And, Lord, I have worked on this, and I've done the best I can to put it together. But now, Holy Ghost, I ask you to put it together. Give us an ear to hear. Lord, let this revelation of unity be imparted today into all of our hearts. We need that impartation that comes from the Spirit. The natural man cannot receive these things. We've received the Spirit of God that we may know the things that are freely given of God. So I thank you for revelation. Help me preach, Holy Ghost. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Number six, the sixth key to reigning in life as a king is to know the reality of fellowship. You got to know about this thing called the church and about fellowship with the church and fellowship with the Father, with his Son. Now, God had two great objectives in redemption. His first objective was relationship. And everything Jesus obtained in his redemptive work on the cross, it all belongs to you. He died that you might live. He was made sin that you might be made righteous. He gave his back to the smiters so you could be healed. He became weak to make you strong. He suffered shame to give you his glory. He was condemned that you might be justified. He was cast from the Father's presence so that you could be welcomed there. You are God's child if you've been born again. You are partake of God's divine nature, and you are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So God's first objective in redemption was to bring you into relationship with himself. Now, his second objective in redemption was so that he could have fellowship with you. God is a holy God. And so in order to have fellowship with you, he had to impart to you the gift of righteousness. Your sin problem has been taken care of. You may not realize it yet, but you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, and you are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's the power of the blood. That's the power of the cross. The cross is the power of God unto salvation, to deliverance. And if you've got a problem, come to the cross. Let God work with it. Hallelujah. And you can get victory. Now, we've covered some wonderful truths so far in this series. But if you're going to walk in dominion, you must understand fellowship. You can know the integrity of God's word. You can know the reality of redemption. You can know the reality of being a new creation in Christ. You can know the reality of being the righteousness of God. You can know the reality of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You can even know the authority of the name of Jesus. But if you do not understand the principle of fellowship, you will never walk in the dominion and master all of life. The heart of the whole redemptive process was that God wanted fellowship with man, and he wanted his family to have fellowship with one another. Now, that fellowship was broken when the first man, Adam, sinned and death reigned upon all men. We saw that from my text. But when the last Adam, Jesus Christ, gave his life at Calvary as our sin substitute, he opened up the dispensation of grace. And the Bible says, much more. Say that with me. Much more. They which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And now, because of the power of Calvary's blood, we have become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because of that, we can have fellowship with the Father, we can have fellowship with the Son, and we can have fellowship with one another. Fellowship is the mother of faith. Fellowship is the key of joy. Fellowship is the source of strength and of victory. Let's look at what John said in 1 John 1 and 3 and follow me. John said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Do you have fullness of joy? If you don't, then as a fellowship, there's something lacking in your fellowship with the Father, the Son, or with the body of Christ. Amen. John said, look at verse 5. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in sin, I said in darkness, that's what sin is, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, John is about 95 years of age when he writes this letter. And he writes this letter because he knows what is missing in the church at the end of the first century. He does not talk about the gifts of the Spirit, such as speaking in tongues or healings or miracles. He does not talk about miracles. He talks about fellowship. He's not against gifts. He's not against prosperity. He's not against miracles. He has experienced all of this. He has witnessed all of this. He has seen the glory of God and the power of God poured out time and time again in the church. Amen. But he knows that these things will not solve the problems in the church. And so he writes to the church, and look at what he says. Once again, 1 John 1 and 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus, the one that he had seen in person. He knows how important fellowship is. He has ministered with the Lord. He has slept next to the Lord. He has eaten with the Lord. He has had time with him alone. He was part of the Lord's inner circle. So he knows what he's talking about when he addresses this subject of fellowship. Amen. He's talking about this. And you will never find a verse like this in the Old Testament because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given at that time. And you cannot have fellowship with Christ, and you cannot have fellowship with the Father without the presence, indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, and that is how we have fellowship with one another, and there is no other way you can have fellowship, spiritual fellowship with others, except when you have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son. And so our fellowship, first of all, it is vertical. It is up toward the Father and toward the Son. And then our fellowship is horizontal. It is out to others in the body of Christ. So it's first inward, and then it's outward. There's an inward work that must take place in our hearts, and then as an outward love that we must show to one another. And that's why the church is called the body of Christ. It's called a body because that word body, it expresses the unity of the church. What was it that brought unity to the body? True unity is not man-made. You can't make that in your home. You can't manufacture that in your home. You can't do that in the church, because true unity can only come from the Spirit of God. And fellowship is based upon righteousness, and by its very nature, fellowship means a sharing together. We are to share together. We are to love together. We are to support one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to pray for one another. And if you don't believe that, look at this, Ephesians 2 and 6. And God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places there in Christ Jesus. God did it. God raised us up. God has done this miraculous miracle in our lives. It was God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But there's a whole lot more to this thing than being saved. And what I'm trying to do is to impart revelational knowledge to the body of Christ. And I'll tell you what, this one thing right here, for over 2,000 years, the devil has blinded the church's mind to the power of unity. We got gossipers. We got bucket mouths. We got people saying all kind of things. It appalls me, the things I hear some people say. They're critical spirit. Let me tell you, all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. And the only reason you have one ounce of a chance of ever getting into heaven is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We were all alienated. We were all separated from God. But thank God, God who is rich in mercy, Kabosha, Ramako Shataya, he gave his Son on Calvary's cross so we could be delivered from the power of darkness, come into the marvelous light, and enjoy fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with one another. Somebody, go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm preaching a whole lot better than some of you are praising God right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Our relationship with the Father and our fellowship, brother, with the Father, it is based upon relationship. And likewise, our fellowship with one another, it is based upon relationship. And you cannot have fellowship where there is discord. Now, let me look at it from the angle the Apostle Paul preached it. Look at Ephesians 4, because Paul is addressing the unity that must be in the church. Hallelujah. So God has done some wonderful things to us. Sometimes we think that unity means that we must agree on everything. That is the natural mind. But agreement is a matter of the mind, where fellowship and unity is a matter of the heart. Hallelujah. And the apostle says we are to walk worthy of our calling. Look at Ephesians 4 and 2, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Oh, my Lord. We need to search our own hearts when we talk about others. Forbearing one another in love. And here's the key to unity. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you see that phrase? The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit is what binds us together in the church. The unity of the Spirit between a husband and a wife in the home. The unity of the Spirit between members in the body of Christ. That is the unity, church, that we must protect, and we must preserve that unity at all costs. And that means sometimes you got to lay some things aside. Sometimes, you know, you could be in charge, and it could be your decision. But we're going to have a Christmas play here, and they wanted to move all this musical instrument, and at first I said no. And then I found out how much people wanted to do that. And so I just laid aside the authority that I have to come together in the spirit of unity to preserve fellowship and to preserve the things in the church that need to be preserved. sometimes we just have to change our mind because our mindset is wrong. And I just told Pastor Ricky, I said, we're going to move it. I said, but Brother David and Pastor Ricky, y'all are responsible. I'm not responsible to put any of it back. We invested in little black boxes, and we got them all here. Anybody that comes here, we don't have to move our stuff. They can plug in to this little black box, and anybody else can plug into that little black box. And we got all that technology all fixed, amen, so we don't have to move anything. But we got to remember that agreement is a matter of the mind, where unity is a matter of the spirit. It doesn't matter if a husband and a wife disagree on something. They can be totally united in the spirit. And we don't see eye to eye on every issue of doctrine with others in the body of Christ. But we can be totally united with them in the spirit. I don't agree with some of my Baptist brothers' doctrines, but I love my Baptist brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's the unity that God is looking for. And once you get that type of unity in your life and in the church, you can drive the devil out. You can drive him from the battlefield. If you're suited up and if you're living right and if you'll get this one principle to prefer others above yourself, to submit yourself to one another in the love of God. Sometimes we just have to do what we do to preserve unity. And don't run somebody down because they do something different from the way you would do it. There are a thousand ways to do things. My wife doesn't wash a car the way I wash it. She used to wash them. She doesn't wash them anymore. That's all right. Hallelujah. But she would take and wash one side of the car, and then she would come over and wash the other side of the car. Now, I start at the top. Then I go to the hood. Then I go to the doors. And then I go to the back. Then I go to the top. She didn't do it like I did it, but I promise you one thing. She did a great job on washing that car. So when somebody else in the body does something a little different from you, don't get all upset. You're not the authority. I'm not the authority. God is the authority, and his authority says we are to submit ourselves to one another. We are to love one another. We are not to allow anything to break the fellowship that's in the body of Christ. Are you guilty? If so, then repent, because there's a way out of this thing. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. You can know all these redemptive truths, but until you decide to walk with others in the spirit of unity and the bond of peace, you will never, never, never be able to walk in dominion and master all of life. How can you master all of life if your spirit man is tore all to pieces and you don't have peace? How can you master life if you don't have joy because you don't like the way somebody else did it? How can you have anything? You just cut yourself off from the source of your righteousness, because you cannot have discord with the body of Christ and be in relationship with the Father at the same time. Fellowship, I should say. Hallelujah. And that is where so many Christians have missed it. That's where so many, not in this church only, but in churches all across the land. If there's discord and unforgiveness in your life, it will rob you of your righteousness, your peace, and your joy. It will rob you because your fellowship has been broken. Fellowship is what makes the Christian life so beautiful. John said, I want you to have fellowship with us, because we're having fellowship with the Father and with his Son. Isn't it wonderful to come to church and just feel the corporate anointing of God and be caught up together, seated together in heavenly places, and feel the miracle-working power of God? Well, that's what God wants. Fellowship makes the Christian life so beautiful. Fellowship is the one thing that makes a married life beautiful. The law that binds the man and woman together, that does not produce fellowship. It is not the fact that a woman is a good cook or great housekeeper or even good looking that produces fellowship. It's not the fact that the man is a great provider or a perfect gentleman that produces fellowship. It is when a man and a woman are blended together into one spiritually, mentally, and physically that they have true fellowship. You can't leave Jesus out of your marriage and have the right fellowship in your marriage. You'll have a lot of flesh. Let me tell you something. Flesh is flesh. And flesh is going to get old one day. And you better be connected to Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the cement that holds the marriage together. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Hallelujah. But you know, it can all get sweeter as the days go by. If you have fellowship with the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and with fellowship with one another. Hallelujah. Now, when we have limited fellowship in the home and in the church, it also means we have limited fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And it's unlimited fellowship that brings happiness into the home. You cannot leave Jesus out. It's absolutely impossible. It is the unlimited fellowship that we have with God, with one another, that brings happiness into the home. And it is unlimited fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with one another that brings the richest treasures of living this Christian life. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. Look at this. The Apostle Paul said, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That word Lord, it sticks out to me. Is Jesus your master? Is Jesus your Lord? Or is Jesus just your Savior? Do you want to please Him? Do you want to walk according to this word? Do you want to have unlimited, unbroken fellowship with the Father and with the Son? Is it your desire to get along with others in the body of Christ? Then it must be done through a spirit of unity where you just lay aside some of the things on your agenda. We are called into the fellowship of His Son. And fellowship, by the way, it is the parent of real faith. I said fellowship is the parent of real faith. And if you find someone whose faith is weak, it's because their fellowship is lacking or their fellowship has been broken. It's like the links in this chain. That chain is one complete piece. If I break one of those chains, guess what? The chain is broken. And that's exactly how it works when it comes to having fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and fellowship with one another. I'm not just talking about in this church. I love others in the body of Christ. The Spirit I preached about, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I got brothers and sisters in other denominations. The Bible says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. We're the children of God. I know people that are children of God, and they're not Pentecostal, but they're in the family, and I love them. Hallelujah. And I'll go out of my way to show my love to them. I'll give to them. I'll pray for them. I'll bless them. I refuse to let anything come between me and my brothers and sisters in Christ, even a doctrinal issue. Hallelujah. We all see through a glass darkly. When we get to heaven, we'll probably realize that they were right about a lot of things and we were wrong about a lot of things. But the right thing is to dwell together in the spirit of unity and in the bond of peace. Hallelujah. Now, fellowship between a husband and a wife can be easily broken, but the marriage is not broken. It takes the court that granted that license to do that. And likewise, your fellowship with the Father and with one another in the body of Christ, when it is broken, it mars and robs you of the benefits of Calvary. And I'm shocked, I really am, at the people in the body of Christ that cannot get along with one another. And it's not over any major issues. They get their feelings hurt over some trivial, insignificant thing that will never change the course of history. You just let it change the course of your life. You just allowed the devil to slip in and to cut you off from the flow of God because you've cut yourself off and you have an ill feeling towards somebody else. I can't feel that way toward my wife. Wonder why the Bible says don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. You got to make things right. And you can go let it go down on your wrath and your anger and the way you feel about certain things. But let me tell you something. Until you find your way to Calvary's cross and repent, you will be cut off from the Father. And you did it to yourself. Somebody go and praise God. I'm preaching some truth. This is revelation right here. People get their feelings hurt. They hold grudges and they refuse to forgive one another. And when that happens, their fellowship is broken. Hallelujah. You see, the key to broken fellowship is repentance. And then forgiveness. Some of you are so proud, I'll never forgive. They did me wrong. Well, why don't you forgive them? They did Jesus wrong. They nailed him to a cross. Are you going to be a reflection of Jesus? Are you going to live like Jesus? Are you going to try to imitate the Master? Are you going to make him Lord? Then you will have to make some decisions. And no one else can make them for you. I can preach my heart out. I can give you revelation upon revelation. I can study to show myself approved. And my wife can testify I have spent hours and days on this one sermon right here, because I see the Oedipal flaw that is in the body of Christ and its broken fellowship and the lack of unity. Amen. But here's the key to broken fellowship. Look at 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I didn't sin. They did me wrong. You got a somebody did me wrong song. Get over it. Praise God. Your whole future depends on your attitude. Attitude is the keynote. Your future to walking in victory. Your future to getting your prayers answered. Your future to seeing your family saved. Your future depends upon your oneness with the Father, oneness with the Son, and oneness with the body of Christ. Don't let the devil do that to you. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Praise God. I'd rather preach something else, but praise God, it's time for this one. I said, God, why did this thing end up on this date? God was just saving it. Amen. Hallelujah. My Lord. The instant your fellowship is broken with anyone, you go into darkness. Unforgiveness, strife, envy, and jealousy, they are darkness, my friends. Hatred is darkness. And hatred blinds our spiritual eyes. And in the letter to the church, John is addressing this very issue. Listen to 1 John 4:20. John said, if a man say, I love God, and hate it, can't get along with his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. And I will have to do everything I can to get along with you. And you will have to do everything you can to get along with me. And you will have to do everything you can to get along with others in the body of Christ. And in this letter to the church, John begins to deal with this. Look at 1 John 4:20. John said, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Now look at this, 1 John 2:11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid by the God of this world, who has blinded the minds of those that would believe to the truth of the gospel. When I read that verse, I told the devil, I said, I'm so mad with you. I said, every day I get up, I'm coming against your kingdom. I said, you had blinded my eyes. I couldn't see what was waiting when I gave my heart to Jesus. I couldn't see the joy of serving him. I couldn't see all of what God had prepared for my life. I was blinded. Devil, I'm coming against your kingdom. And today, let me tell you, I'm coming against his kingdom in great power, in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, to bring a revelation to the body of Christ that you must have fellowship. It's a commandment with the Father, with the Son, and with one another. Somebody, go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that man that is blinded, he is out of fellowship. He is walking in darkness, and he does not even know it, because the darkness has blinded his spiritual eyes. There are some people I want to tell them. In love, I want to help them as a pastor, but I realize they are so blind that they cannot receive the word I would share with them. And my whole objective is love. I want to see them get their victories. But they cannot receive me. They cannot receive the word, because the devil has blinded their mind. They have envy, hate, and jealousy, and works of the flesh in their heart. And They have been blind. Look at 1 John 2:11 again. Look at this. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. He's talking about the church. And walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his mind. How many Christians are like that? And yet they refuse to walk in the light of God's word. They're blind. They can't see. You can give them the word and they say, it don't matter to me. They did me wrong. No. It's up to you to fix it. Walking in the light means walking in God's love. And you listen to this preacher. Every step you ever take out of love, you take a step into darkness. That's powerful. Every step you ever take out of love, you take a step back into the world of darkness. Look at 1 John 1 and 6. Let's just rehash this thing. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light of God's word, we have fellowship with one another. And the thing that we have fellowship with one another and fellowship with him is that his blood cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's talking about broken fellowship. Go back and study the subject matter. He is not talking about how you live out your life except for one subject matter, broken fellowship. That's what he's talking about. If we confess our sin of broken fellowship, our sins of how we feel toward others in the body of Christ, our sin of the envy and the jealousy and the strife, and how we're going to have our way about things and nothing else matters. I didn't want my way. I wanted unity in the body. If you want to take all this stuff off the stage, praise God, it's all right with me. Because we're going to put it back. Amen? Can you put back the arrows you shot at? Can you put them back after you struck somebody with the sharpness of your tongue? Can you do that? No. You cannot call an arrow back into the bow. No, it's impossible. So we have to watch how we walk. Amen. We confess our sin. He's talking about broken fellowship. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at 1 John 1:10. If we say we have not sinned, I'm talking about fellowship. That's the whole subject matter. We make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Do you see this? Do you see how important this subject matter is? Do you see what the devil tries to do to homes and tries to do to the body of Christ? See, as long as we walk in the light of God's word, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, not just broken fellowship, from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, when we have broken fellowship, we are walking in darkness. And we deceive ourselves if we say we've not sinned. And the Bible says the truth is not in us. I didn't say it. See, these scriptures are not written to the world. They are written to the church. There is one Lord, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism. And church, we are one body. And we must keep the unity of the Spirit at all costs. Look at my hands. Why do my hands cooperate with one another? Why is it that my feet and my hands can work together? Why do my eyes and my ears work together? What causes everything in my body to function together? It is because they are all connected to the head. And how? That's how every part of my body works together. They're connected to this brain, to this head of mine. And my hands and my feet, my eyes and my ears, they can all function together because they are connected to my head. And brothers and sisters who are walking in fellowship with the Father, when they meet together with other believers, they can have perfect fellowship because they are connected to the same head, God the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of his church. And here's the key, 1 John 1:7. I keep coming back to it, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's how we have fellowship with one another. But when the fellowship of the head is broken, you may still be a member, but your fellowship with the body is broken. And likewise, if your fellowship with the body is broken, your fellowship with the head is broken. If I break my arm, it's still connected to the body, but it cannot function. It's still connected to the head, but it won't function. Do you see that? Amen. That's why so many Christians have a lot of problems. They're connected to the head, but their fellowship is gone, simply because they cannot get along with others in the body of Christ. My members must work together. All members in the church must work together. Hallelujah. Now, in the Old Testament, holiness was external, and it was achieved by keeping the law. But in the New Testament, holiness is inward, and it flows out of love, and no other way. Hallelujah. The Bible says, faith worketh by love. And that's why we need redemptive revelation, so we can enjoy the benefits of Calvary. God is love, and we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. Look at my text once again, Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. As I said earlier when I started this sermon, we have covered some tremendous Bible truths. And you can know all of the above, the integrity of the Word of God that I listed earlier, the reality of redemption, the reality of being a new creation in Christ, the reality of being the righteousness of God. You can know the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You can even know the authority of the name of Jesus. You can know all of that. But if you do not understand the reality of fellowship and unity in the body of Christ, you can never walk in dominion, and you will never, never, never master all of life. Now, Jesus prayed that we might be one in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. He said, I and thou, and thou and me, that they may be one in us. He prayed that we may be one. And Jesus spoke of oneness over and over and over again. Let me give you a revelation. Matthew 18:20. Look at this oneness. For where two or three are gathered together, that's unity, gathered together. In my name, there am I in the midst of them. See, the Lord has given his church authority over all the power of the enemy, and he has made it possible for us to reign in life through Jesus Christ. But it all begins with the power of unity. Look at Matthew 18:18. Let's go back. Because now Jesus is really giving us a revelation of unity. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by the Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Do you see that? You break your fellowship, he won't be in the midst. How can he be in the midst of you and a brother or sister when you have broken fellowship? Church, it's not enough that we come together. We must come together in unity. And when we agree as touching anything that we ask, it's done for us by the Father which is in heaven. Now, God gave me this revelation after I put all this together. When we don't have fellowship in here the way we should, the broken, fragmented, hurting, outcast of society, they cannot come into our church and find the deliverance that they want because we have broken fellowship. Unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is what cements the church together. Hallelujah. Prayers are answered at the place of unity. Miracles happen at the place of unity. Souls are saved at the place of unity. Deliverances come from alcohol, from drugs, and from pornography, and from all types of evil sins at the place of unity. Hallelujah. Why does that happen? Because the church is flowing together in love. How does faith work? Faith worketh by love. Now look back with me at Matthew 18 and 18. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." See, the Bible talks about three heavens. The Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven, into the very presence of God. The heaven just above our head is first heaven. It's the heaven we can see. And between third heaven where God resides and first heaven where we reside, there is second heaven where the devil rules his kingdom. From second heaven, he sends his demons into the earth. And they first visit our homes. And then they visit our families. And then they visit the church. It started in the Garden of Eden. And the devil has been after the home and the family ever since. The church is the family of God. And that's why the devil wants to destroy this family. Hallelujah. Jesus is showing us the power of unity in these verses. Now, you may not have known this principle, but listen to me. The devil knows it, and he knows it very, very well. This may be revelational to you. I hope it is. The devil knows it, and that's why when you see two people that want to be one, the devil seeks to divide them. Look at the husband and the wife. That's why the divorce rate is so high. And the devil works overtime trying to separate anything that is joined together. And in the church, when he sees two people working together, the devil brings some kind of misunderstanding, seeking to separate what God has joined together. And most people don't even realize what he's after. He is out to destroy the blessings of God in their personal life. You're not wrestling flesh and blood, but you are contending with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And when you allow the devil, you allow it to bring division into the church, you have fallen into his trap, and you will never rule and reign and master all of life. And the same principle is true in the family, in the home. You will never be able to bring your children up in the fear, the nurture, and the admonition of the Lord when the husband and the wife are not united. It's an impossibility. At the place of unity, God commands the blessing. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you show a spirit of gentleness and meekness to others? Do you submit yourself to others in the fear of God? If not, you have allowed the devil to take you captive at his will. Now let me give you a verse of scripture to support what I just said. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves, look at this, out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You have authority, you have power, you have Kratos dominion, you're to rule and reign in Christ. But if you open the door, the devil will take you captive at his will. You must do everything you can, and I must do everything I can to maintain fellowship and unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you're not ruling and reigning and mastering all of life, it is because you are out of harmony with God's word in some area of your life. That is tremendous power and unity. And for the last 2,000 years, the devil, he has done everything in his power to keep Christians from seeing this. Tremendous power and unity. But for 2,000 years, the devil, he has done everything in his power to keep Christians from seeing this principle of unity. Father, I pray that the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened today. Holy Ghost, I've given your word. I've given what you've given to me. Now do the work in the hearts that only you can do. It's fellowship and unity that releases God's miracle working power. Several months ago, a very wise man, Brother Bud Tedder, he handed me this little note. And I didn't have it in my message, and I looked down. I was cleaning up my desk. I know my wife's glad about that. And I looked down, and I saw this note. So fitting to end this sermon. The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. The first to forget is the happiest. Author unknown. Let me say it again. The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. The first to forget is the happiest. Don't let your happiness be in somebody else's head. You've heard me say it 100 times. Forgive. Walk on. Hand in hand with Jesus. Let your happiness be in Jesus. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
Now, some of you, you need to be running to this altar. God didn't give me this sermon just to beat the air. Some of you need to talk to God and say, God, I'm sorry for what I've said. God, I'm sorry for my nasty attitude. And then you need to go to some brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And you need to tell them, I'm sorry. I don't want anything to keep me from getting all that God has purposed for my life. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to walk in unity. Let us come to the altar. I'm going to enjoy all the benefits of Calvary. Hallelujah. I'm going to search my own heart. And I'm going to let God take care of me. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Search me, O God. Try me, Lord.
And it's my joy to honor you.
Let there be a unity throughout the body of Christ, throughout the land of America, Father. Let there be a unity of the Spirit. Lord, we're never going to agree on everything. But, Lord, we can have fellowship at the place of unity. We love you, Jesus. Lord, there are homes, there are families, there are miracles that are needed. We praise you, God. We praise you, Lord, for this revelation. The revelation of unity. Lord, help us to take it back to our homes. Help us to take it to our jobs. Help us to demonstrate it in the body of Christ. Help us to love one another as you loved us and gave yourself for us. Help us to give ourselves for others. Lord, we get tired sometimes doing it, but you call us to that place to help one another, to love one another, to prefer one another, to lift one another up, to bear one another's burden, to be your hands extended, to be your heart reaching out. Hallelujah.
In all I am.